Hello again and welcome back. We'll pick up our conversation with Ed Martin in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. A St. Louis County judge has ruled that Normandy schools are unaccredited and students who live there have a right to transfer to whatever accredited school district in the area they want to attend. Circuit Judge Michael Burton said the state school board acted improperly when it classified the new Normandy Schools Collaborative as an accredited state oversight district. That move blocked students from getting the education he said the state owes them. And Republican gubernatorial candidates Tom Swyke and Catherine Hanaway are speaking to Missouri editors and reporters today in Jefferson City. It's their first such presentations in what could be a contentious year-and-a-half-long GOP primary. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now, there's been a bit of a shakeup in Missouri Republican politics with a recent announcement from Ed Martin that he is stepping down after 2 years as chairman of the state GOP. A successor will be chosen late next week, after which Martin will assume the title of president of Eagle Forum, the conservative organization founded by Phyllis Schlafly. Ed Martin joins me in studio to talk about his decision and the future he will have with Eagle Forum. Ed, nice to see you.
Thanks. Nice to see you again. Thanks for having me.
You surprised a lot of people with your announcement.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm a believer in term limits. I don't think that any one man or woman is the greatest thing ever. And so I think I served a great tenure. I think we in 2014, we won a lot of elections. Maybe as importantly to me, I think we developed credibility with the grassroots and conservatives and broadly as a party. But this is an opportunity at Eagle Forum that I couldn't pass up. And I think it's the right time. And I'm going to be committed to helping the Republican Party and whoever's my successor and the party in general to do well in 2016.
Do you already have an office at Eagle Forum, or is that pending your?
Yes, I do have an office there. Okay. So I've started in a little bit. You know, chairman of the party in Missouri, some states it's different. It's not a paid position. It's not a full-time position. So I've been practicing law and living here in St. Louis. So this will be a full-time position, and I've started up at Eagle Forum.
I understand your comment on your belief in term limits.
Yes, sir.
You know what the pundits have suggested, and that has been that perhaps you weren't as successful as the party had hoped in fundraising.
Sure.
And that perhaps your interests were more on national issues than local Missouri politics.
That's right. I mean, there's always pundits on all sides. I will say, since I announced I wasn't running for re-election, a lot of the people that had maybe been critical are saying wonderful things now, which you have to be careful of. But look, the proof is in the elections and what we did. And in my cycle as chairman, you know, we raised a couple $1 million. We won almost every election we ran in 14. And remember, I took over in 2013, right after the 2012 election, where the confidence amongst the party members of all stripes was very low. We had the disastrous Missouri elections of November 2012. And so succeeding in 14 took a lot of effort and a lot of focus. And I leave it to – I've been pundits have said things about me before and after, and I respect them all. And we're just going to succeed and keep doing the best we can.
You heard the headline I just read, the news story regarding Catherine Hanaway and Tom Swyke. And the word that was used there was probable contentious election. Do you see it that way?
Well, look, I'm also a fan of primaries. I think primaries are good for the party. I think if you looked back 25 years, as you know, and there were primaries on the Democrat side more frequently than Republican. You know, these things ebb and flow. I think it will be a very important election, and I see Tom and Catherine are very capable. I think there'll be at least one or two more candidates who get in. I think we're going to have a serious full-throated debate about what being a Republican means and what the future can be. I think that's okay. If you look in other states, you do well in a primary, you win, and then you take on a candidate and you can make a case and win. And so I think it will be contentious. I think this is a very important time, but I hope it's about the ideas and how each of them can move them forward.
Sometimes that can be destructive, however.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
And particularly, we're looking at the Republican situation on the national level as a great possibility with all the candidates emerging. They could do each other a lot of harm in the party. Harm.
Yeah. Well, I just point to experience. And one of the reasons, again, I ran for chairman, I was in a primary against Ann Wagner. And I decided not to stay in that race. And instead, I became the attorney general nominee. That was not based on the fact that I thought she was better than me. It was based on a judgment that could we make more progress together in this way. In Missouri, here in St. Louis, Jack Spooner, great lawyer, ran against Jay Ashcroft in a primary. Very competitive. When it was over, Jack's been one of the best models of how do we go forward. So the primaries can be terrible. And I think at the national level, we're going to see a lot of heat. But if they're about the ideas that we believe in, and we do it in a way that shows that we respect and trust each other, I think we make progress. Now, You're right. That's a challenge. And as a party leader, my job was to get in a room with Jay Ashcroft and Jack Spooner and say, guys, fight it out. But then, no, we've got to try to compete against the other person. So that's going to take more leadership than not. And again, I'm not leaving the party. I intend to be a full-throated proponent of what I think are conservative Republican positions. But I'm also about, we believe our positions and values are better than the other teams, and we've got to compete.
Is there another race in your future?
No, sir. Your great reporter, Jason Rosenbaum, he and I live in the city of St. Louis. He made a joke and said, as long as you're living in the city, there's not many Republican slots to run for. But I'm interested in helping Eagle Forum. We have some national issues at Eagle Forum that have to do with the 2016 cycle and issues on immigration and free trade that I think will be important to be communicating about. But I'm not... my wife, if she's listening, I'm not running for anything. We've done that part of our lives, and we'll see what the future holds.
Is Eagle Forum, do you think, changing its approach at all? And I'm thinking particularly of the issue of gay marriage. There's a certain momentum, and you certainly have to agree in the country today, in support of gay marriage. Eagle Forum has not been a supporter of that. But young people are looking that way, and 36, 37 states now are legalizing it. What do you think? Can Eagle Forum change its stripes on an issue like
that?
Well,
you know, it's interesting. If you look at the history of what Eagle Forum has taken up and Phyllis Schlafly, one of her great successes she's known for is to being a sort of one-woman leader of a band that beat back ERA. At the time that she took up that fight, it had been passed in the House and Senate, was going to the states. They passed amendments. She really beat that. It's a lesson. But another lesson I'd point to is that starting in the 70s, when the Republican Party said, well, maybe Roe v. Wade was decided last year in 73, we'll become a pro-choice party too. Mm-hmm. Phyllis and others said, no, we want to be a pro-life party. And today the Republican Party is pro-life. My point is that was a systematic decision to communicate and educate about the issues and be political. On marriage and the defense of the definition of marriage, 10 years ago, in 04, across the country, we had votes where you would have said something like, there's no chance we'll have marriage, homosexual marriage, because the states are voting, and yet here we are today. I don't think these are as settled as people believe, and I also think that we have to educate about them. Being against homosexual marriage, to me, is not a position I want to be in. I want to talk about the definition of marriage, what family means, and how it impacts us. And I think Eagle Forum, again, the proven record of another example, Phyllis Schlafly articulated 15 years ago the problem of free trade. That is now a position that both parties are in favor of free trade, and most Americans are not in favor the same way. And Eagle Forum has been educating about how free trade has been abused by China and others to the detriment of our jobs. This is where I sound like a left winger. I mean, I'm in with the union guys on this. That's where Eagle Forum's value is a consistent message that talks about facts and issues and relationships and not necessarily the personal politics and the fight on that level.
But primarily the focus is on family issues with Eagle Forum.
Sure. It's one of the – certainly, yes. Family issues, pro-family, American sovereignty. I mean, Phyllis was one of the earliest proponents of the phrase military superiority for the American – not a great national defense, but military superiority is a big difference. And so it is a broadly conservative organization, but certainly, you know, Eagle Forum's leading in the opposition to Common Core. In part because we've seen this played out before. 15 years ago, it was a different plan. 20 years before that, centralization of control of education. Again, I sound like a left winger. Teachers don't like Common Core either. And we need more control at the local level by our teachers and school boards.
You know, you mentioned ERA a moment ago, and that's where most of us who have been around for a while got to know Phyllis Schlafly 40 years ago. Uh-huh. That may be a battle that has to be refought.
You bring a good point up. Thank you, Don, for saying it. I often say to Phyllis, you won ERA, but on many of the issues that the ERA was pushing, they've made progress on the other side. Yeah. So, for example, in 1978, she was on a radio program with Kopichnik in Chicago, a famous guy.
And
Betty Friedan. And Kup and Betty Friedan said on the air, I listened to the tape the other day, they said, oh, Phyllis, you're talking about women in combat. Nobody wants women in combat. Well, she said ERA would do that. And ERA was beaten back. But we know today we're having a very different relationship of feminism and the progress they've made. So some of those conversations, there's a young woman named Suzanne Venker, who's from St. Louis, who's written a book with Phyllis on feminism and opposing the feminist movement as it impacts the family. I think you're right. We have to have a conversation about those issues in a broader way and see what we can do.
Yeah, I want to go back to the young people today because that's a burgeoning population. The millennial population is huge. And I would say that in general, it's probably a little more progressive than conservative. And for Republicans to win elections and for the causes that Republicans espouse to prevail, you're going to have to win over this group. How do you do that?
Well, I'd make a practical point to you, Don, that every election cycle you have people that come in and say, if we just win over the young people, and nobody ever really does that. Now, it doesn't mean we don't want to articulate what we care about, but it's much harder.
I think
harder
Obama than, did.
Well, but the numbers are not that. Obama really maxed out the African Americans. He increased some of the young people, but you know who votes. But I think a different question is, what's the Republican Party? How's it going to relate to people that don't see a job market future that's as positive as their parents did? That's the question. More young people are pro-life. We actually have some success saying, do you care about helping people be pro-life? But I think the question is on things like amnesty for illegals and free trade and American sovereignty. I think we can say to young people, we're on the side of more opportunities for you, but it is a challenge. And we have to be more willing to go where they are and listen and figure out how to communicate. But I think that the future is bright. I also think that what Phyllis always taught and Eagle Forum's done is education. Many young people don't know what they believe yet. So speaking and educating about what the conservative values are is a help too.
I have a quote here from you in one of the stories written about your
uh-oh
change in jobs. Uh-oh. Well, it's from you, so it must
okay
be,
it must be good.
Right, right.
Okay.
Eagle Forum is still a leading organization in the fight against the tyrannies of the large and the small. What tyrannies are we talking about?
Well, it's an interesting moment in history. I don't want to sound like Elizabeth Warren, but I do think that we have a problem when Wall Street and big business is so in favor of flooding America with low-wage-earning illegal immigrants. And that's what amnesty does. And that's a tyranny of big business and big government. Another tyranny that again, Eagle Forum's been clear on is China and the vast movement of overseas work has caused – yes, we get cheaper stuff at Walmart. That's a nice thing. But it's taken a big chunk of our culture out. And that's because China's so big and is so dominant in our culture and our governing class. So there's tyrannies big and small. I think that there's tyrannies in education. Some of this Common Core stuff is really, I think, unhelpful. But there's also big government and big business and big labor. The amnesty fight, illegal immigration, to me, is more destructive to regular working folks than anybody's paying attention to. And it's not just left-wingers that want it. It's big business that wants it. And we should call it what it is, even when it makes some of them nervous.
Well, there are 12 million undocumented people in this country today. What would you do about that?
Well, I think it's actually probably more like 19 million. But well, I just certainly wouldn't give them amnesty. Yeah. I would build a sophisticated wall along the border and make it clear that you can't come through. Israel's done it. In San Diego, there's a big stretch of a wall.
The Russians did it.
Yeah, exactly.
The Soviets did it in Berlin.
Well, but there's a question of American sovereignty. And right now, unemployment amongst African Americans and wages amongst African Americans is lower because of the flood of illegal immigration. If you want to change the law and say we're open borders, we should do it. We shouldn't do it. But that's a different argument. And big business right now and big labor and big politics is saying, look the other way. We'll give amnesty because it's in our interest. Here in Missouri, we're devastated by that. So I wouldn't give them citizenship. I wouldn't give them voting rights. I would penalize businesses that hire illegals, make the penalty very high. And we'll see some change
in
attitude.
But you would not build a wall. I want to be sure that we are clear on that.
I would secure the border, however you have to do that, sure.
Yeah.
In San Diego, they did it very simply, and that's not now that people don't come across in San Diego because they go places where right now there is nothing. They just walk across. We can do something better than we're doing.
We're talking with Ed Martin, who is stepping down effective the 21st of February as chairman of the Missouri State Republican Party. He has taken a position with Eagle Forum, a position he now holds. If you want to talk to him, we have a few minutes. 382-8255 is the number. And we have a call for you. And let's bring in Jerry, calling from O'Fallon. Jerry, go ahead.
Good morning. There's a lot of issues I'd like to discuss. And surprisingly, some of the things you've said, I have to say, I agree with. But when it comes between, say, philosophy or ideology and results, I guess it seems to me the legacy of the Republican Party in Missouri, one of the main ones, will be the failure to expand Medicaid. And regardless of how you feel about what government should or shouldn't do, the end result is that people will die needlessly, especially in rural areas, and it's going to cost us taxpayers more money because people could have problems addressed earlier on if they had some access to medical care. And instead, their illnesses or conditions will progress to a point to where it's going to take some type of very, very serious hospitalization and treatment and money that we will foot the bill for. So I guess I don't understand when you can look at something that is may go against what your stated ideology is, but carries such a devastating result, how the choice can be made that we are still not going to expand it.
There's so many. Thank you for the question or the comment. There's so many ways to address it. I will say one of the big tyrannies, Don. I'm only a week left to being chairman, so maybe I'll get myself in trouble on the way out the door. But one of the big tyrannies in this debate is the big hospital systems, and the big hospital systems and the big insurance companies got to the table in Obamacare in a way that advantaged them. They control the money flow. The Missouri Hospital Association is one of them, and they want to do what they want to do for their advantage. Now, that's an observation. Everyone knows in political life in Missouri that the Missouri Hospital Association has an outsized impact in favor of Barnes and a few other systems. And my concern with any expansion of Obamacare, there's a couple reasons. Number one is when Obamacare was ruled strangely by the Supreme Court that it was constitutional as a tax, they also said you cannot force states to expand it. So the states can make an assessment. That was what they expected was to be forced to expand it if you wanted to take any Medicaid money. That's the Supreme Court. That's the rule of the land. That means that we ought to be having this conversation about how to have state-controlled, state-influenced Medicaid if we're going to have that safety net. The second observation is I just think that Obamacare and the general expansion of the services under the idea of helping people get health care is worse for our health care system. And so I would rather stop here and have a different system, whether it's have changed the tax relationship between insurance, which would change things, change relationship between block grants from the federal government. But I just don't think that anyone can make an argument that I see that expanding Medicaid and Obamacare is going to help us in the long run. And these ideas that people will be dying in the streets, that's something, if there are specific examples, we ought to be worried about that. But there were people suffering under the previous Medicare, Medicaid, and the current system. And I think things like PABs, the boards that are going to decide who gets care and who doesn't get care. My wife happens to be a physician, and we're seeing the intrusion into the patient-centered care with their doctor by the insurance companies and the bureaucrats. That's a very worrying thing.
One of the things that people are concerned about, some people are concerned about in any case, with regard to Medicaid expansion, is the fact that it's going to be very destructive to a lot of rural hospitals that really –
you mean the failure to expand?
Yeah.
Well, that is there's an argument to be made. But if you talk to the hospitals, what you'll hear is that they're being bought up. As soon as Obamacare came through, the spigot of money flowing into our healthcare system to the states is controlled largely by the biggest hospitals or influenced by them through the hospital association. It is actually not allowing the kind of creation of entrepreneurial situations where small hospitals can flourish. They're just being swamped under. So hospitals are buying smaller hospitals and either closing them or changing them, and doctors' groups are getting bought because the advantage is to be with a hospital. Obamacare allows reimbursement rates that are higher to a big hospital system than they would be to individual doctors' groups. All of these things are creating centralized control of health care outside of the patient, and that's what we should be fighting against. More control for patients. Even some of the proposals that sound costly, like you put all your money into you get a grant so you can put your money into savings accounts and the government will contribute towards that. It gets very costly. That sounds better to me when the patient's in control than when the bureaucrats are in control.
Yeah, one of the criticisms of the GOP critics of Obamacare is the fact that they offer no alternative. They just simply say, we don't like this, get rid of it.
That's the biggest – if I would give one criticism, if you said criticize the Republican Party for me, I would say too often we're against things without enough conversation about what you're for. Ben Carson – like him or not, in all his positions. As a physician, he's been talking about health savings accounts and lawsuit abuse reform in a way that at least gets us talking about health care again, not just I'm against Obamacare or for Medicaid expansion.
Our time is winding down. I want to get another call in. We'll bring in Jay from Normandy. Jay, it's got to be quick, though.
Yeah, Ed, I agree with you on the issue of the amnesty and the law. But on two other issues, I really have concerns with the Republican Party. That would be on the gun issue. I don't know why the Republicans are so enamored with guns. And then you all are ignoring the science of climate change. 90% of scientists that study that issue agree that that's happening. And I don't understand why. And even the polls are now showing that the general public is starting to pick up on that. You guys got to get real on that. It's happening. Thanks.
Well, quickly on the guns, I happen to think that we ought to have better and more enforceable laws on crime and on violence. And I think that guns don't commit crime. It sounds a little glib, but people do. I never understood the solution to run and change our gun ownership and gun possession. But that's our position. I think it's bound in the Constitution. On the other hand, I will say we ought to be talking more and more about what the violence is. Why is it mental health that causes this violence? Is it bad? Are we not doing the right things with our families and schools? This all should be on the table. On climate change, look, the question is to me is whether the solutions offered by people that want to do cap and trade and want to, you know, control us are really solutions or if they're government control. China cheats on climate more than anyone ever has. We do nothing to stop them. And then we tie our hands with the EPA and other groups. So I think we ought to, if you want to take on climate change, you ought to be on the front lines with me in opposing China and realizing they're our enemy and they are doing things to us that we never expected and they have to be stopped.
We only have a minute left. What specifically is your role going to be as president of Eagle Forum? Just doing the kind of thing you're doing right now?
No. We have chapters across the state, across the nation, really in all 50, but 40 are really active. But Phyllis is becoming CEO and chairman of the board. She still directs our policy and our decision making. I'm going to do some fundraising, focus on 2016 and some of the political issues that are going to face us, and then work with our state chapters to empower them. Example, yesterday in New Jersey, our Eagle Forum president, Carolee Adams, testified about Common Core, had a great impact on Governor Christie, I think. Those are the kinds of things we do at Eagle Forum.
Does Eagle Forum have the clout today that it had 40 years ago?
I think it's got more clout because we're the best in the field in terms of true to our values, not without criticizing anybody else, but now that I'm president, with Phyllis and I, we're going to do everything we can.
And now that you're president, you're saying exactly the sort of thing that presidents are expected to say.
That's right, Don. You got to sell, right?
Ed Martin, thank you so much for being with us. Good luck to you in your next chapter, your next page. It's great talking to you again.
Thank you.
Join Jim Kircher tomorrow for Cityscape when he'll talk with Marie-Hélène Bernard, who will take the helm of the St. Louis Symphony in July, and with author Daniel Handler, better known as Lemony Snicket. And in the next installment of Soundbites, produced with Sauce Magazine, we'll literally take you to Seoul Q in the Loop for a taste of Korean barbecue. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, in honor of President's Day, we'll talk about several U.S. presidents with regional connections and revisit our discussion about a road trip Harry and Bess Truman took after leaving the White House. Archive versions of the program available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. The program's produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Erica Smith, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Katie Cook, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Thanks for being with us. I'm Don Marsh.